less than 20% of online course takers actually finish the courses. And for courses that are more expensive, they're more likely to complete it. But even within those, people do not finish it.
And that's a statistic from Harvard. This week, we are diving into the psychology of engagement, of audience engagement. So if you are launching a podcast, say you're launching a course, a brand, a business, you want to know how you can deeply and truly connect with your audience. And that's what we're diving into. We, as adults, have different learning styles, just like kids do. And or with, like we did as kids. And if you're going to be creating something, it's so important for that person who's purchasing it to get every single bit of value out of it. That's the reason you're creating it, so that they can use something, implement it in their life so that their life can now be better and more awesome. And that's just so exciting. So that's what we're doing on this week's episode. We're going to talk about the psychology of audience engagement. We are speaking with an award-winning filmmaker and course creator. His name is Roman Jaquez. He is collaborating with me on my upcoming course, Podcasting with Impact. So if you would like to learn more about that, be sure to check out the show notes. It is going to be perfect, perhaps a Christmas gift for that person in your life who's been like, hey, I've been wanting to create a podcast, but they just aren't pulling the trigger. Maybe they need a little bit of support, a little bit of guidance. They just need a little help to get them through that launch phase. This is the perfect gift for them because it'll guide them through it all. There will be someone there named Christine holding their hand through the process because, guys, this can be emotional on top of, you know, wanting to understand all of the tech and the marketing and the business that goes behind podcasting. So take a look at it. I'll link to that in the show notes and let me know if you have any questions about that. Shoot me an email, podcastcoachchristine@gmail.com. I am always taking emails from people and taking the time to write back. So shoot me one and you'll hear back from me. So without further ado, let's dive into this week's episode and hear more from Roman. Welcome to Podcast Coaching with Christine. Here we talk about how to grow your podcast using industry insights and broadcasting strategies. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. Today we have a really amazing guest and his name is Roman Jaquez. He is an award-winning filmmaker and course creator. We are actually working together to create a course right now and I'm so excited to share him and his expertise with you. We're going to dive into the psychology of audience engagement in this podcast. Roman is so informed in this space. I know he's read so many books on this. He's created a number of successful courses, as well as, you know, being this award-winning filmmaker, and he's really well known all over the world. So super amazing to actually have him as a guest on my show. Roman, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's truly a delight to be with you.
Yes. So we are both right now podcasting from upstate New York. I always like to share a point of contact because podcasting is truly something you can do anywhere you are, whether it's in person, which unfortunately this is not thanks to a pandemic. Or if it's face to face via the interwebs. So, Roman, we are working on this course together. It has been a little bit of a passion project, and it's taken all sorts of time and energy, and maybe for me, some new wrinkles, some gray hairs. How about you? How are you feeling?
You know, in all honesty, I am having a lot of fun with this. For once, it's not because you are interviewing me right now, but the truth is that you are super talented. And for me as a producer and director, having worked on so many projects in the past, It really does take a lot of work to make someone look good and sound good. And you have made it so easy for me. You truly are a gem. Your capability, just the talent in your body language, your voice. And I really mean this. It's just fun to watch you. I'm learning from you. I've been learning from you. And so regardless of how much work this is, I'm having a lot of fun because you make it fun.
Well, thanks for saying that. Roman has been spending hours editing our content, and yes, he just can't get enough of me. So I really am glad you're on the show right now, getting more of me.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the psychology of audience engagement. And I know that you've been really diving into this a lot. What should podcasters know if they're thinking about launching a course or they're launching a podcast and they want to keep their audience engaged throughout the episode or the content, the product?
Oh, that is such a great question. And I appreciate that we're just going with it. And I didn't see it coming because it allows me to be genuine in the answer without being canned or prepared. Which is something that you actually address in the course. Sounds like I'm promoting it now, but the truth is that there's a soundbite that is just obscure, tucked away in one of the course modules where you give a tip on regards to just be yourself. And that is such a profound statement because one of the best ways that we can engage with listeners, with viewers, is by being ourselves. And people really connect with that. For instance, let me put it this way. Right now, people are listening to this podcast. Maybe they're driving, maybe they're sitting in a computer, maybe they're exercising and they have it in the background. But I would bet that people can hear and see you smile. And because you are being yourself, you're having fun along the process interviewing me, and your voice changes and people, we perceive it. Maybe we're not aware of it or not. So to answer that question, the best way to engage, especially with listeners, you just be yourself. Let your voice be heard, much like how we're talking right now, fairly organically. And people connect with it because we are having a conversation and we are not trying to, per se, influence people to buy the course, but we're letting people know that, hey, we are people, we're in a community together. We're trying to influence one another by sharing each other's passion. And that comes across in the language that we use, in the tone of voice. And when we smile, it changes that. And people hear your smile and they see your smile in your voice, which is why I was talking about this editing process being so fun, because you, much like yawning, when we see someone yawning, we yawn completely out of our control. Well, my cheek face hurts by the end of editing because I've been smiling the entire time. Because I'm reciprocating your engagement with the people. It's pretty cool. Long answer, but it's the truth.
So my takeaways from this is how you are feeling when you smile, when you frown, when you're feeling anxious, when you're frustrated, whatever it is that you're feeling and how you look in your face. If you can't, you have to put it aside if it's not something that's going to serve your audience. So if you want to keep your audience engaged and you had a rough morning, let's say for instance, your expensive microphone stopped working and the internet connection was failing you and your headphones wouldn't connect, much like the beginning of this phone call, Roman. And sometimes stuff happens and it can be so frustrating and then, you know, but it is important to try and put that stuff aside when you are recording your podcast, because it's not about what happened to you that day or the frustrations right before recording. It's about the person who's listening. So that they can get the information that will serve them on their journey, whether, you know, it be podcasters or someone else who is, you know, interested in what your product might be. So,
you know, I want to say something in response to what you said. I'm sorry to cut you off. And the genius of what you said was the unspoken message behind it. For instance, you just shared about some of the technical things getting said on this podcast. And notice how you just share that with a laughter. And the truth is that people connect to that. Let's say that people listening to this right now, highly likely they themselves, some of them, probably had a rough start. For goodness sakes, we're dealing with the pandemic. Maybe some parents had their kids come back, sent back from school, or not be sent back. We have Thanksgiving coming up. So that's life. Things don't always go as expected, but I appreciate how you just brought it up with the lightness, with the humor. And that's what I was referring to before. How do we influence people? By being ourselves. And we connect. We totally connect through that because we are not this perfect thing. It's not a utopia. We are fellow earthlings sharing a common journey. And
oh, yes, we are. So fellow earthling. If someone out there is interested in creating a course themselves for their podcast, for their business, what are some things that they should think about before they start?
Oh, that's a really great question. All right. So the first thing that comes to mind is fear. And oftentimes, there's so many passions and so many desires and longing that we have, and that fear keeps us from pursuing it. Let's narrow down podcast. We have people who have a unique passion or interest, or desire to belong and connect in community, and they have a message they want to share, but then they become quickly aware of the obstacles that may keep them from it. So the first thing that comes to mind is drop down, do some push-ups if you can, do some jumping jacks, and just block that thought and face the fear and take the courage and be vulnerable to step in into that space and just do the next right thing to take you closer to doing the podcast, which oftentimes just looks like overcoming fear. Once fear's out of the way, then this world opens up, the technical things, a quick Google search will find an answer. And by just being wholeheartedly honest with our humanity, with our imperfection, anyways.
there's a fear. Maybe that's a Freudian slip. There is a quote that I love from Brené Brown about bravery. And how if you want your voice to be heard, if you want to connect with people, then you need to step into the arena. And for me, like I always picture like this Coliseum type arena where all of a sudden I'm in the arena, everybody can see me and all of my vulnerabilities are on display. And now I have to be brave enough to stay standing there. For as long as I want my message to get out there, as long as I want to be seen. And so I take that as, you know, when you're launching a product or a course, there might be fear and this fear of being vulnerable. Excuse me. And I know I for sure have this fear. But the point is you're brave when you overcome that fear and by just kind of taking that step to do it. So you stop holding yourself back because every single person who I've either worked with or I've interviewed on this podcast about podcasting and or stepping into their fear. I mean, a lot of them, it took them a year to even start. Like they bought the equipment and then they never started until like a year later when they were like, oh gosh, I should have started a year ago, but I was so afraid. And there really is, fear is so dang powerful. It does really slow us down. And I'm trying to make a point here. And I think the point is every person who I've talked to who has gone forward and stepped into their fear has said they've received so much from podcasting, whether it comes in relationships, that they meet with people who are on their show and community, education, what they learn from people, what they learn about themselves, how they are now in a position where they're growing a business, which is not something they ever actually pictured. And they're trying to figure out, okay, so what do I do now that I have this community of people who are interested in hearing my podcast? I didn't start podcasting to sell something, but if I wanted to be able to continue, like make this podcast at least pay for itself, I could offer something. And what might that thing be? Is it, you know, clothes? Is it a course? Is it coaching sessions? What is it? And so it's really been such a cool journey for so many people. And I do find while I'm working with clients that everybody has this really unique offer that they can make and then push out there into the world. And it doesn't have to be this crazy high-end price to actually be something that makes a difference in that host's life as well as the person who's buying it. So anyway, just yes. I don't know if that all connected or if that was just one like long sidebar, but it's out of my mouth now, so I can't take it
No,
back.
It certainly connects, you know, because podcast, when I met you a year ago, mm-hmm. and we set out on this crazy journey when we recognized that we could do something really fun and creative together, you know, I approached to it from the mindset of an entrepreneur. In all honesty, I saw an opportunity to make money. When I heard you, you said something that really caused me to just pause, reflect, and respect you, is that you saw in as the pandemic was developing and so much of it was unknown, you saw podcasting as an opportunity to connect and give people a platform to belong in community while people were being isolated. What you saw was a platform to facilitate resources for people to share their stories and to hear other people's stories and to be part of a community where there was part of, so there was just such a novelty and beauty to it that was far beyond, and ultimately that's what defined the course. And do we make that we're selling it? Yes, certainly. But that it is not the end. The end really was to create a vehicle and a platform for people to gather and just get in their own pockets, in their own little tribes, and take part and reciprocate and share each other's pain and each other's suffering and each other's passion, each other's interest. And yes, to your point, then as it grows, you know, there is an opportunity to be entrepreneurial about it and not just to sell a product for the sake of making money, but to sustain and to grow and to scale and therefore continue to expand and give back generously to those that support the podcast. So definitely face the fear and step in into that vulnerable space. And the thing about fear is that, yes, it is powerful, but at the same time, it is not. The opposite of fear is love. So to step into loving self and allowing yourself to speak up and to love other people into sharing with compassion and curiosity, those inner stories that we so desire to share, you know, it does offer, it does bring a platform, again, from love, from fear to love, from just doing this out of pocket to actually bringing in some sort of revenue to just continue to grow together. And I'm rambling here. But all I see is just great opportunity to build relationships and to have positive social impact.
Yeah. Positive social impact. So I mentioned impact because that is actually the name of our course, Podcasting with Impact. So Roman, I do want to dive more into just kind of the structure and maybe a guide for people who are going to launch a course, because this is something you really helped me out with when it comes to figuring out, okay, how many modules should be in the course and how is it laid out and what is important? And if someone out there right now was going to start maybe a really like small beginner course, what would that look like? Would it be 3 modules? And what's a module?
Yeah, no, that's great. This was, by the way, a really fun process for me to work with you. I said before, I learned a lot from you, and I'm still learning a lot from you. And when it comes to the experience of this course, it's a number of things that we took into consideration in making it happen. The first is that we were compassionate about, let me put something in context before I carry forward. I did work for Apple, and during my time at Apple, I worked as a genius. Then I worked as a creative, so I was doing technical hardware repairs, which truly the work of the genius doing like emotional relationship repairs with people who came upset with a broken product at the genius bar. Our job was to take them from being detractors to promoters, to loving the brand and loving the company, and of course, solving their problems. And then I transitioned to teach as a creative, and then I transitioned to work for corporate. And during my time at Apple, I became a guinea pig of a couple of agencies that Apple would hire. They would send a few of us to corporate, to Cupertino, and we will learn about the different methodologies on how to incorporate adult learning styles, bring it back to the retail space, and implement it. If it works, then they would test that those theories into regional. If it worked regionally, they would test it on a larger scale. So I borrow from what I learned from Apple and from my many books in the, and of course my background in film so this course has been hugely influenced by compassion. And here's what I mean by that. As adults, we learn very different than children. And there's a lot of different learning styles. Some of us learn by visual, which means that we have to see things to learn. Some of us are more oral, which means we have to hear something to learn. Print, we have to like write it down and go through the process of like literally engaging with typing or getting a pen. Tactile learners, which that's me, I have to do something. Actually, most boys, most men have to like have something on hand or do something with a hand. Just our brains and our stereotype. And then we have the interactive learners, which means that they have to like be discussing and engaging with a form of dialogue. And then we have like the kinesthetic learners, which they have to go through movement. They have to, again, there's a little bit of overlapping all of this, but we know that there are four primary learning types, and the entire course has been done to engage the participants, the course takers. And we do so from a very, very, very basic, assuming that even the vocabulary in the trade, in the marketplace, is new. So we have taken great compassion and curiosity for those who wants to do it, but they're completely clueless as to how to do a podcast, and all the way to the professionals who already have access and resources to studio. And the modules are in such a way that people can skip through and just go straight to what they want. If somebody just wants to record, if someone just wants to do an interview, if someone just wants to do the marketing, they can skip things and just move straight to what they want. And here's something else. So I sit on the board of multiple organizations, and I myself own a couple of businesses, and time is precious. I read a lot of books, and some books I just don't have the patience for because they say so much to just get to the point. We cut to the chase. We are sensitive to people's time. We said what needs to be said in simple terms, but also without compromising content. And in a short amount of time, people get what they need. They have resources to do what they have, so they can get going and launch a podcast. So that is the one thing that I really appreciate about it, being an entrepreneur, is that it's straight to the point, bottom line, not just the essential, but also we type in into more mature things. So we have those options. So for those who are going through the course, I think they will get a lot. Actually, I don't think. I believe they're going to have fun, as I'm having fun with it, mostly because you on camera are so engaging. And you know, and I believe that people are going to learn a lot from you just by experiencing you, so much as from going through the course, because you model effective communication so brilliantly. And if people just imitate and follow your model, they already have like, that alone is worth the course. And yes, we have great resources into it, but did that answer that question?
Well, yeah, I think what I took away from that, Roman, is there's different learning styles. We all have different learning styles. I actually am also a tactile learner. So I just like to do something. And once I've done it, it's like it's more in my head. I actually probably have to do it a couple times to really get it, especially if it's a technical thing, like learning how to understand a new software. Gosh, could like really make me crazy. So I'd say I'm both tactile learner and somebody who just needs to kind of like listen, observe, take things in for a while. I get so much out of observing people, and I don't know if this just talks to my background as a journalist or just as a human. I just love learning by observation. And I remember when I was an intern, I feel like I really discovered this. I was working as an intern at Care 11 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I feel like I got a couple decades ago, whatever. And it was it a couple, oh my Lord. Anyway, so I just remember following the reporters around and just watching everything that they did. Then I would sit in the editor's bay and just sit there and just watch them figure out where to put their fingers and edit the timeline. And they would be like, what are you doing? Like, I can't really teach you right now. I can't really talk to you. I'm under deadline. And I'm like, I don't need that. I really just need to watch you. And the more I watch, the more I learned. And so I would say, yeah, I'm a tactile learner, but I also learn by observing people. And super, super interesting that you pointed that out, that you can, if you're creating a course, you can create a course with that in mind. So whoever is taking it really gets the most out of it.
Certainly.
So yeah. And you also, mentioned that,
can I say something? And I'm sorry, go ahead. Sorry. You know, I, by the way, I had like 4 cups of coffee, so I know that I'm excited. So I don't know, can you do subtitles in a podcast? You may have to dub a translator because I realize that I'm speaking very fast and I should slow down. For people who may not keep up with my accent, what can I say? Sorry.
Oh, but I think you're fine.
There's one more thing that I wanted to mention. And I'm going to butcher this citation, but Harvard did a research study, I think it was last year, and they published some results because they, you know, online education is booming. And what they found, and here's where I'm going to probably butcher, but how I remember, about less than 20% of online course takers actually finish the courses. And for courses that are more expensive, they're more likely to complete it. But even within those, people do not finish it. And I have taken a lot of online courses. And it's astonishing to me how I think that a lot of people are really well-meant because they have great content to teach, but they lack in what I think we excel in this course. It is in having compassion for the adult learner. Our attention span right now, it is super, super short. I think it's like 4 seconds shorter than it was 10 years ago. So what this course does so brilliantly, it's when we started editing and filming it, I took into consideration that statistic, like how in the world do we get people to finish the course? And the truth is that it is fun. It has a nice beat to it to draw people right back into everything. It's so intentional to retain the attention of the participants, because I know there will be a lot of distractions. So the thing is this, the value of the course is that people, if they stick through it, they have to do some work. We facilitate almost handholding, but ultimately the course participant, if they want to launch a podcast and do it well, if they do their part at the pace that we lead them to, which is self-paced, but we lead them through the whole journey in such a way that they really can execute and execute successfully and while having fun along the way too. So I just wanted to mention that because if somebody's asking, well, another course, well, it's not just another course. It's a partnership. We're literally partnering with people because we would like to have social impact and hopefully by people stepping in, into the arena, as you quoted Brené Brown, we can actually, again, invite people out of isolation and hear their stories and share their stories, whether it's through interviews or just like speaking to niche audiences. This is just absolutely brilliant. I count it a privilege and a social duty to release this course. Times are hard for a lot of people, and money has become a concern for so many people, especially given the unemployment rates and fear of the unknown. You know, some of the things that entrepreneurs have and CEOs, I would say that every podcaster, here's a bold statement. Every person that stepped in to create a podcast, you are an entrepreneur. And even if you have not done a business before, you already are doing it. And that is so courageous and so cool. Yes, it is vulnerable. But the thing is that, like, there's so much reward in it. We were talking about fear earlier, and I'm coming back to talk about money. When we step into that space of vulnerability to face our fear, there is such a dopamine trigger. There is such a high and a joy to being conquerors and overcoming self. It is such a freeing thing. And oftentimes, it's not just the fear of the unknown, like, am I good enough? Are people going to like me? Am I going to get an audience? Sometimes it's just like, can I really afford the risk? I will ask, can you afford not to step in and do it? It's not just for the self, the experience of overcoming fear and just doing something, but the rewards cannot be quantified. And I just wanted to mention that, because having started multiple businesses, it can be scary. And for me, I have done it so many times that it's actually exciting. And you mentioned, funny that I'm known all over the world, that we should put an asterisk on that. But, you know, having traveled internationally and having experienced so many cultures and languages and literature and food and music, is that we as citizens of the world, we have one thing in common. And it is a desire to belong. And I keep saying the word belonging because I really believe that that's what podcasts really do at its core, is that it brings people together. It gives people a little escape, kind of like movies. But it's based on reality. And it gives not just the perception of being part of something, it's the reality. And so can you afford not to invest in something like this? Can you afford not to invest in signing up for the gym or doing the exercise at home or doing that one thing that keep holding, that somehow fear keeps you from doing? I would say, can you bleep? Anyways, I'll keep it clean. Step into it, do it, have fun, change your world and change other people's world.
What we do with the podcast course that Roman and I created is, it's called Podcasting with Impact, because to me, it doesn't make sense to start a podcast unless you want to make an impact with it. And when I say impact, I mean impact with an audience, or if there's a big thing in the back of your mind that you've been thinking about and you want to talk about it, or story that you need to share, that's going to be impactful. And it's how do you deliver it? How do you execute so that what you have in your mind becomes your reality? And so we meet people there. Also, if you're just launching a podcast for fun, this is going to have an impact on your life, right? Like, a lot of podcasters are also hobby podcasters, and they want to do it because they're looking for something to do with their friends, or there's a subject matter they really like talking about. And it turns out so do a lot of people. I think that's how some of the history podcasts really started taking off. It just was, you know, a couple people wanted to talk about history, and then everybody wanted to listen, because history does tend to be fascinating and repeat itself. So I think that no matter what you want to do, you want it to make an impact, because it's going to make one. And so we work together to guide you through how to launch your podcast, your podcast development, help you figure out what you should be podcasting about, how to get your podcast storyboarded, how many episodes are you going to do, what style of podcast, is it an interview show, is it a talk show, is it a host-based show, what exactly is your podcast about. We do everything from media hosting, distribution, getting your show on Apple, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Pandora, Spotify, all of the places that you need to be so that people listen. And then we also talk about some marketing strategies. And there is a unique spot within the podcast where we talk about monetization and how to create your very unique and specific offer and how to bake that into your podcast so your audience doesn't feel like you're constantly selling them something, because that's not what podcasting is about. For me, podcasting, when I first started, was not about making money. It was about getting a story out there. It was about helping people actually with their health. And so, and that was the first, one of the first like big major podcasts that I worked on. So I just that's kind of just a regular layout. Am I missing anything, Roman?
Sounds very good to me.
Okay, great. And for more information on the course, if you're curious, if you want to learn more, we're going to put all those links, of course, in the show notes. Roman, what I like to ask every one of my guests before they go back to their day is, okay, what has been your biggest struggle with this course or with whatever it is that you're working on as an entrepreneur? We all have struggles. Let's have a struggle sesh and vent about it. So what are you struggling with?
Oh man, this is,
yeah.
All right. If I respond that honestly, I must be vulnerable. So here we go. I guess what's coming to mind is people. I am a people pleaser. I am very hardworking, something that I learned from my parents who work very, very hard when we immigrated to the state. And in the past, not so much with this course has been just a flawless experience to me, honestly. There are so many unexpected interruptions because of the pandemic that I just have to adapt and go with with how times were dictating how things should go. But in one of my businesses, I was producing this movie. It was a $100 million project. And we were growing very, very fast. It was an idea that I had one morning, shared with my wife. She gave me the blessing. I quit Apple and I set out, I just quit cold turkey 2 weeks from having this idea and stepped into the unknown. And the idea was so big and so bold that it was drawing people's attention and it was growing and I got the funding. People started to like meet it with hedge funds and different funds and they gave me money and I was hiring people. And I was so focused in wanting to push this big vision. And I was bringing so many people in a short period of time that I failed to lead well. And what I mean by that is that I brought people and put them in positions that was unfair to them. And I set them up. They were really good at specific things. Don't want to mention that, so I want to be careful to honor people. So I take full responsibility, but ultimately, bringing people together in a short period of time and having them jumping in a fast-moving train, it caused for interpersonal issues, and the people pleaser in me wanted to resolve people's issues. I didn't have the courage to fire because I thought that I could fix it. But what that really did is that it showed my gremlins, and it was fear of failure and fear of disappointing people. And so I risk myself, I risk the people that I have hired, and I risk the company, which ultimately ended up dissolving. So that has been my biggest struggle. And it has been a learning process to love people enough to respect them and to say no, and to be able to fire people at the same time. That letting go of people, it can be an act of love. It's hard for me to say that, but it truly can be, and as painful as it is. So anyways, long answer. I don't know if that was answer that question, but In a nutshell, what the biggest struggle for me is to continue to practice compassion and curiosity for where people are at.
So I do think that it can be so hard to let people go or to be the person who's let go, speaking from experience. However, your story reminded me of one very specific thing that I went through as a young girl or teenager. I was a rower, you know, but before I was a rower, and by rower, but let's go back. So in high school, I tried a bunch of different sports, and some of them I was good at, some of them I was okay at, and I found myself in tennis, and I was in tennis for 4 years. And every year I played exhibition, which means you don't play for points. Like, I was never good enough to actually play for points for the school. Not once in 4 years. But I was still like so determined, and I would work so hard, but just I wasn't good. And it can be really hard to tell somebody who tries so hard and who has so much enthusiasm and is so competitive that they really are wasting their time, because it's just not going to work for them. And just my eye-hand coordination wasn't there. There were so many different things. And, you know, you don't ever want to tell a kid, you just don't have it. Because you want to tell them, like, oh, here's the steps to get to where you want to get. And I was taking those steps, but it just wasn't going, getting anywhere for me. And so one day, my coach, Coach Johns, came up to me and he put his arm around me and he's just like, Christine, you know, we love having you on the team, but unless a miracle happens, you're always going to play exhibition. So I really think you should find something else. Like, the team will survive without you. And I was like, okay, so you're saying I have a chance. I feel like that, the Dumb and Dumber movie. So you're saying it, I could do it. No, that's not what he was saying. And so I quit tennis, and I didn't want to use that word, that Q word, right? Quit. And so I had to tell my parents, and I was just like so devastated because they had spent so much money and I had spent so much time like just trying to get this tennis thing to work. So that was the end of the year. That summer, I started taking like a learn to row program. And I was so good so quickly. And it was amazing. Like before the end of the next year, I had several offers to go to college fully paid as a rower. Wow. Instead of a tennis player. So like what Coach John said to me really was the best thing that could have ever been said to me, to get me to realize, hey, like it hurt, it really hurt at the moment. I felt like, oh, you don't want me. I'm not good enough. Da, da, da. I felt all these awful feelings that I guess, you know, he didn't want me to feel that, but he also said it in a way and encouraged me in a way when he said it that made me feel like I could find something else, and that he really did enjoy having me. It just was not going to work out. So, anywho, if he hadn't said that, I wouldn't have gotten a full scholarship to row for a university and then, you know, become a Big Ten champion 4 times and become an NCAA national champion. Like all of these amazing things happened to me as a rower. And it was in the University of Minnesota where I ended up meeting my husband. And now we have 2 kids. And there's so many wonderful things that happened because I quit tennis. So anyway, he fired me, but there we go.
You know, thank you for sharing that story. You know, when a door closes, it opens up a space for new opportunities. So after that $100 million trilogy that I was set to be filming in Rome, Italy, with an incredible cast and crew, of course that dissolved. And then later on that year, I ended up making a movie for $1,000 in one day, just something experimental with some people that were itching to do something. And that movie has become quite possibly one of my most exhibited movies and one of the most award nominated and winning movies. And it came out of that place where, I mean, just the contrast was astronomical from having literally Oscar winning team on one side on an epic production to like just a handful of cast and crew for $1,000, which really was to pay for the food. It brought about an opportunity to get creative, to be, and to think outside the box. And we did this movie that has become this phenomenon. The way forward about forgiveness and people connect with it. Just one example, I'm talking about podcasting with impact. When we share our story, when we step into the unknown and we do something creative, like creating a podcast, in my case, we made that movie in one day. The first time it was shown in Europe was in Geneva, Switzerland. And after showing the movie, I kid you not, I was up for 24 hours because all the filmmakers who have come from different parts of the world wanted to rally around me to share with me their story of how they were. The movie's about healing from father wounds and forgiving fathers. And I was just astonished how people just came around and wanted to tell me the story. I saw the song Rise and Set Again, and people were still telling me their story and how they related to some of the characters in the movie. And it's been so satisfying to hear how this movie has impacted so many people and so many relationships being restored after hearing this, after watching this movie, that would have not been possible had that door not closed for me. So I can relate to you going out on a full scholarship. That is so cool.
It was really cool. And it sounds like you had this just amazing situation happen with this movie. What was it called?
It's called The Way Forward.
The Way Forward. That's right. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Roman, thank you so much for being on the show. Is there anything else you would like to share with our audience?
Yes, I just have this overwhelming sense of gratitude. This may sound strange, but I am so grateful to have the opportunity to share my story and to know that people are actually listening. I can only imagine so many people who are tuning into this and, you know, what they're going through with life, their own relationships, their own longing, their own desires, perhaps looking to just break through something. I count it such a privilege to have just a small piece of daytime and day just to connect. I wish I could hear their story. I love to hear stories, but to have this platform to talk to people and to be invited to that sacred space or the privacy is amazing. So thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much, Christine, for inviting me. And this is just beautiful and I'm excited. I'm curious to see how your listeners will go out and change the world.
Me too. Thank you, Roman, so much again. And for more information about Roman, you can, of course, check our show notes. Thanks again, and till next time.
Thank you guys for listening. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts. You can also find this podcast on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and more. If you would like to email me directly, feel free to reach out at podcastcoachchristine@gmail.com. And of course, you can head to my website, christine-o'donnell.com, for frequently asked questions, the latest on what's going on in the industry, and I look forward to seeing you over there.